Now the 0-1. Swinging a line drive left field. They were deep, and it gets down in front of Franchi Cordero for a base hit. Jordan Lyles, 7 1/3 perfect innings before Trevor Story with a one-out single here in the eighth. And 19,598 on their feet at Petco Park to salute the 27-year-old right-hander from South Carolina.
After we struck out Cargo, that's when it kind of got real for me. The crowd started to get loud. And then we made two good pitches to Trevor. Slider down and away, I think. Actually, I just saw a replay on TV. It was a good pitch. That's exactly where, if I was going to throw that pitch, I wanted to throw it there again.
Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris on the air following a brilliant performance by Jordan Lyles this afternoon out at Petco Park. 22 up, 22 down, Tony, 5 outs away from a perfect game. They asked him when he was started thinking about perfect game. He said right about there in the seventh inning. I kind of started thinking perfect game when I saw the Rockies lineup today. Be honest with you.
Really?
Charlie Blackmon wasn't in the lineup. Colorado, this is the worst hitting Colorado team that they've put on the field, maybe in their history. But no, I would never expect Jordan Lyles to go out and throw 7 1/3 perfect inning. I mean, the most impressive part to me was the 19 straight strikes he threw from the fourth through the sixth inning. He was in complete command.
I mean, he threw the ball as good as you can possibly throw it. He was locating the baseball very well. I thought early on that curveball was dynamite. That's the best curveball. That's the curveball that got him selected in the first round. And you saw kind of spots of it in Houston and then in Colorado. And I think, listen, when we had him on before his first start, one of the things he said he was trying to bring with him was continue to be on the attack. And that's what he was. He was getting ahead early. I think he had something like 15 straight first pitch strikes or something like that.
He did.
And listen, when you're getting ahead, it makes the job a little bit easier to accomplish. And then the fact that he was spotting the ball up wherever he wanted to, and you heard Rafi Lopez say during that interview that they didn't really use the changeup very much at all.
Didn't have to.
Didn't have
keep
to.
Him off balance because everything was spot on.
Fastball, little cutter every once in a while. He mixed in that slider, and he had that big curveball going. And I know he says it was a good pitch, but that last pitch to Trevor Story, if it's down, he gets a ground ball. But because it's elevated, even though it was located on the outside corner well, it's up in the zone, and it allows Trevor Story to kind of flip that ball in the left field. But otherwise, he's only thrown really one bad inning since he's become a starter. That was the first inning of his first start back. Since then, he's been dynamite.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure and get your thoughts because we went over it, and Jesse, when he announced it, said, hey, you know, the outfield was deep and the ball fell in. But I can't second-guess that at all. I looked at it. I watched the replay several times. I don't think the Padres were playing too deep. I mean, it's Trevor Story. It wasn't like Cordero's back was against the fence.
Right. It wasn't like he was in San Francisco when that ball fell in or anything like that. He was playing Trevor Story deep, basically knowing he hits the ball hard and far most of the time.
Yeah.
He put himself in the best position possible to be able to make a play. But listen, Trevor Story did a nice job. He kept that ball on the line, and it dropped in. There was no way Franchi Cordero was going to make that play.
No second guesses today. Not like the Arizona game when Tyson Ross almost had the no-hitter, and Franchi took that little hesitation step, and the ball got over his head, and I'm sure he felt terrible about that. Nothing to feel terrible about this afternoon, except for the fact that it's 31 hitters now. I'm stunned by that. I mean, when we looked it up, Scraby looked it up and said, oh, they got 28, 29. I said, that's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, it's 30.
I mean,
I didn't think they had that many one hitters.
When you have a franchise that's getting as old as the Padres franchise is getting, and they haven't had a no hitter yet or a perfect game, chances are there's going to be some 1-2 hitters in there somewhere, and it just happens to be 30 of them for the Padres.
30 of them, that's incredible. And Chris Young once threw a perfect game for 7 2/3 innings. That was the longest the Padres had ever thrown a perfect game. The first 23 outs. Remember Chris Young, of course, and Jordan Lyles goes 22 outs today before giving up the hit to Trevor Story. So that's how we begin things today. Plenty coming on the program. Padres are headed to Pittsburgh. We will head there as well. Joe Starkey from our sister station. And they're not 97.3 The Fan. They're 93.7 The Fan. We'll talk about the surprising Pirates who are getting ready to welcome in the Padres. Show really kicks it up there in the 5 o'clock hour. Mark Neville's going to join us. Holiday Bowl, huge announcement today. We will let you in on that. In the 6 o'clock hour, Tony, I am very excited about this because it's not often that you get the number one guy in any sport to come on your program and be as gracious as this guy is. But the number one guy in the sport of horse racing is Bob Baffert.
Yeah.
He is the guy, and he is the trainer of Justify, who won the Kentucky Derby and is going to be going for the second leg of the Triple Crown on Saturday. He was nice enough to get back to me today. He will join us at 6:15 today. We'll talk about his horse and his chances of maybe training another Triple Crown winner. Bob Baffert is
Didn't he train American Pharaoh as
he
well?
Yeah. I mean, Baffert's is like, he's as good as it gets, and we're lucky to get him on the show today. And then Gary St. Jean, former coach in the NBA, now works for the Warriors television network, NBC. He'll join us at 6:30. Obviously, the Warriors jump up one game to none on the Rockets last night. And just my first quick thought on that game, Tony, and we'll talk in more detail about the Rockets and the Warriors, but did you see who was the leader in plus-minus in that game last night? You know what the plus-minus stat is, the points scored in the game while you're on the court.
Yeah.
Did you see who had the best number of anybody on it? Take a guess of who you think it might have been. Of all the players, you got Durant had 38, and you had Curry out
was
there,
and you
had all these guys. No. No, it was on the winning team.
It was on the
winning
team.
Draymond Green.
Of course.
As of always.
Yeah.
I mean, Draymond Green scored, I think, what, 5 points, had 3 rebounds. You probably thought he didn't do anything last night. Yeah, only when he was in the game, the Warriors played their best basketball.
Listen, you can feel
that's how, what he does.
You can feel how you want about Draymond and some of his antics, but he set the tone early with the face push of Harden in like the very first minute.
And
just letting them know, like, listen, man, you're not going to just be coming in here getting free layups without some type of some type of forearm shiver.
No.
And that series is going to have to change in order for the Rockets to take this deeper than like everybody thinks they're going to take.
Well, I'm going to just say the same thing I always said about the Celtic Cavalier series, which continues tonight. It's game one. Everybody thinks the Rockets are done.
Yeah.
And things can change. But Houston is going to have to start hitting some more of those three-point shots. I thought the most telling statistic in the entire game was that James Harden had 7 assists, which is about what he normally has because he draws so much attention and then he dishes off to the shooters. But his 7 assists, not one of those was a three-point
basket.
That's
right. They were all to Capella on the lob.
All underneath or two-point shots. And what Houston lives for is for Harden to set up the threes. Golden State did not let him do that.
You can see their scheme is, their strategy is
to their madness. But Houston's still a good enough team to win a couple games, I think, in that series. So we'll talk about that. Robinson Cano gets an 80-game suspension. I am really looking forward to hearing some. He is way gone. Looking forward to some of your thoughts as a former big league ball player on yet another star player getting caught. I mean, I thought every time you think you're kind of through this whole PED thing, one of these stories comes along. So Tony will have some thoughts on that, I'm sure. So we'll get into all of it, and we're just getting rolling until 7 o'clock. It is Chris Cello, and it is...
Tony Gwynn Jr.
It is Gwynn and Chris.
San Diego's only FM sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
What do you mean? Noise, not just everybody. I mean, it's just from ourselves. I mean, it's like, you know, oh my gosh, they're icing, that's all we do. No, and that's what we do best. We score like 60% of the time on it. It's like, no, really? I mean, you know, all of a sudden, oh, they don't pass everybody's stand. Really? You watch this for 82 games? That's what we do.
That was Houston Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni commenting on some of the noise that's going on about their team being heavy ISO.
Yeah.
One-on-one basketball, especially when it's compared to Golden State, where there's all kinds of pieces moving in the offense. Everybody, it's equal opportunity for everybody. And when you watch that game last night, Chris, it was obvious. I mean, when you watch how hard James Harden, although he was getting to the bucket and doing his thing, he had to work a lot harder to get buckets than any of the Warriors did. And on top of that, the others, as Shaq likes to call them, the others, they had no rhythm because they weren't really touching the ball unless the shot clock was under 6 seconds or so. So it's interesting to me that he feels like that is the way they're going to beat the Rockets when you look across on the other side of the offensive end where the Golden State Warriors are making it look far, far easier to get buckets.
Let's take a look at it. I mean, let's just say this. The Warriors won the game, so what they did last night worked, and the Rockets lost the game, so what they did last night didn't work. And I think it's – I don't think it's right. I'm not the world's biggest D'Antoni fan. I like the way the Warriors play basketball better. I'm not a big fan of the ISO game. But – And the ISO game, I think we're getting a little – I don't want to get too
– into the woods.
It basically means there's not a lot of screens. There's not a lot of guys running around. You give the ball to James Harden. You get out of the way. You give him some room, and you let him go to work. And he scores 41 points for you. And if they double-team him, he throws it to somebody who's open. And that's how the – but that's how the Rockets got the best record in the league.
Yeah.
I think it would be ridiculous for them to come into this series – and change what they do best. Now, if what they do best is not going to be good enough to beat the Warriors, then it's not. But to me, I agree with D'Antoni here. I think it's short-sighted of people to look at one game and say, well, what were you doing out there? Well, your strategy was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't. This is what we do. And I read a stat that was unbelievable to me. James Harden scored twice as many points on ISO plays this year as any other player in the league, Tony. It wasn't even close. I mean, it was like 1,100 points to like 500 was the next guy. So this is what they do. They've got to – they've you build your identity during the 82-game season. Ridiculous to me to go out after one game and just trash the whole thing, I think.
Very, very fair point. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, you're listening to Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. I agree with that. I mean, listen, I think to compare those numbers, Harden having twice as many ISO points as ever, the league is changing now. We're back in the 90s, the early 2000s, that was how the NBA was played. It was ISO ball down low with the big man, suck the defense in, kick out.
Back at you, Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Don't forget our Twitter account, at 97.3TheFanSD. Jordan Lyles putting himself in the middle of today's poll question by nearly pitching a no-hitter. I don't think he would have been part of this question yesterday, Tony.
No.
The question is, who's the Padres' best pitcher right now?
But after these two starts, you got to put him in the conversation.
He may get a couple of votes.
Yeah.
He may get a couple of votes. Get on Twitter, at 97.3TheFanSD, and vote in our poll. We'll give you the results a little bit later on. All right, Tony, I'm going to just kind of make way for you here and give you the first shot at this thing. Robinson Cano, 80-game suspension, Major League Baseball. Testing positive, banned substance. He will not even appeal the suspension. And I don't know, as a former Major League ball player, your thoughts on this story and the fact that this kind of keeps happening in Major League Baseball. Every time we think maybe in the back of our minds it's all gone away.
I think we need to get that thought out of our head that it's going to go away forever, because it's not. I mean, there's always going to be people who are, quote unquote, trying to beat the system. There are always going to be people, believe it or not, that aren't cautious enough when taking products that are given to them by a doctor. This is real life, right? I mean, people play baseball. People also have other health issues, even if they are athletes. I don't know whether Robinson is telling the truth or not. I did my own research on the particular diuretic he got popped for. It's furosemide, I think it's pronounced.
Furosemide,
and yeah. High blood pressure medicine it's used for. It's a bunch of different health things that it's used for, and you can get it through your doctor if they prescribe it. That being said, you get a big booklet every single year when you're on the 40-man roster. And even when you're not on the 40-man roster, you get a booklet, and it has a list of all the different things you could take. And look, you don't even have to look into that list. You can call the players union, tell them off your bottle, whatever it is you're taking, and they can tell you. So there are so many resources to be able to kind of get around this. They have a TUE, a therapeutic exemption, which allows guys to take things for actual health reasons. Before something like supposedly what Robinson Cano was going through. He had a health issue. He should have gone through the right processes to get that TUE, and this wouldn't be an issue. So to me, he shouldn't appeal it because at the end of the day, he's responsible for what he puts in his body. That is the bottom line. And this could have been avoided had he just put a call into the players' union or opened the book himself and found out exactly what it was he was putting in his body. So regardless of his reasoning, whether it's the reason he gave is real or it's a lie, at the end of the day, he could have avoided it by just getting a TUE and going through the right process. That's where I'm at on this. I mean, again, guys are going to always – there are going to be guys who always are trying to beat the system. There are going to be guys that are what's the word I'm looking for? That aren't cautious enough about what they're putting, aren't paying attention to the rules or the no-goes for what you can take, period.
All right, let me say something, and then you tell me how wrong or right I am. And you may just say, Chris, you're completely off base here. And if that's so, I want to know that. If you get caught by Major League Baseball testing positive for a banned substance, I have been told that you almost have to be kind of dumb to get caught. And what I'm saying is furosemide is a masking agent for other performance-enhancing drugs. And that's what I was told, and that's what I learned about this.
I believe most diuretics are end up being masking agents.
So basically, to put that in layman's terms, a lot of guys take the performance-enhancing drugs, then they take the diuretic, which in this case is furosemide, to mask that so that it won't show up on a test.
Right.
If you get caught, it's because you messed up. You didn't take your masking agent at the right time, or you forgot to take it, or what have you. Robinson Cano gets an 80-game suspension because he made a mistake, and the mistake was not knowing what he would put in his body. I think he knew very well what he was putting in his body. The mistake was that he forgot to take his masking agent or he took it at the wrong time. Now tell me, am I way off?
I can't say either way, because that is the issue at hand, is that you don't know what somebody's where somebody's head is or what their thought process was when this happened. So you could be 100% right. You could also be 100% wrong. But then in the day, it doesn't matter what the reason was for it. If he didn't go through the proper channels and he didn't do his homework, either way, it's 80 games. I believe that's $11.4 million of his salary.
That's a lot.
And listen, the bad part for Robinson is it doesn't look good, not only because he got caught, but he's also 35, right? He's 35. This is about the time where athletically you start to decline. And it's easy to say 1 + 1 = 2 on this one, right? Like, maybe it looks like you probably tried to take something. And you tried to mask it. It didn't go right. And now you got to serve 80 games for it. And now, not only that, the most important part is your credibility, your integrity is all compromised forever. At the end of the day, forever. And that's the way it is. I mean, we're talking about a guy who had a chance to possibly be a Hall of Fame type player. That goes out the window now, just based on what we know from guys in the past. I mean, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Mark McGwire. These things hurt you at the end of the day, regardless of what the reasoning was, because at the end of the day, perception is reality as it pertains to this particular subject.
Yeah, I see Mark McGwire quite often. I mean, he's a coach of the Padres, for heaven's sakes. I see him in the dugout a lot. Before, after, during games, saw him in spring training. And I believe Mark McGwire is very sorry for what happened. I honestly, truly do. I think Mark McGwire has basically said, had he realized what was going on and what he was doing, that he didn't even need to do it. He still would have hit home runs. And I believe him, because when he was a rookie, he hit 49 home runs, right, and he was skinny as a toothpick.
Right.
So Mark McGwire really didn't need to do this. He was doing it at a time when that's kind of what everyone was doing. And as the top home run guy, along with Bonds and others, he got caught up in it. But it's hard for me to look at Mark McGwire and ever just clearly look at Mark McGwire without this coming up in my mind. And for Robinson Cano, he says, look, here's his quote, is the same quote that just about every player has. It's funny that you said you can go to the Players Association and get a list of what you can and can't take.
Yeah.
I also believe you can go to the Players Association and get an excuse list of what you should say and write as your excuse, because he said, playing baseball has been the greatest honor, privilege of my life. I'd never do anything to cheat the rules of the game that I love. Undergoing dozens of drug tests over more than a decade, I have never tested positive for a PED. It's the same thing that every guy who's ever been caught has said. It's the same thing. So it's almost impossible for me to believe him. I would be more likely to believe Robinson Cano if he jumped up on top of the highest building in Seattle, on top of the Space Needle, and screamed out, I am suing, I am protecting my name, I did not do this, there is no way I am wrong, you guys are besmirching my name forever. I mean, if I didn't do it, I would let everybody know about it.
How, though? I mean, at the end of the day, this isn't a matter of it not being a false positive or something. This is a test that has come down. It's in his body.
Well, I might be willing to explain to the P. He said that he took this furosemide because of an un.
That's the part that worries me.
Of
an unexplained
medical problem.
If it's real, I'm just coming out and say, hey, you know, I got high blood pressure.
That's what I'm saying.
This is exactly what it is.
Even if it's a little embarrassing. Whatever you have is a little embarrassing.
You got to. It's worth your integrity.
100%. It's better than this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw it. Dan Heron was on Twitter. And some people looked at it as defending him, but I just looked at it as him giving some perspective behind what he was saying.
Dan Heron, the former pitcher.
The former pitcher, right, for the Angels, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
He said that he was taking the same stuff, and because it was such a hassle to get a doctor with the TUE, because let me tell you, I've had one of these TUEs before for ADD, and what happens is you have to go to see a doctor, and you got to continuously see this doctor, and it is kind of a hassle to get these scripts written for you. I mean, you got to sometimes drive all the way across the county to get some.
You
of
have
stuff.
To prove basically that you still have whatever the malady is that you need to keep taking this medicine.
Right, and so what Dan Heron basically said was he basically switched medications because it was so much of a hassle,
right,
to get the medication that we're speaking of right now. So it's a fact that you can take this and have a therapeutic exemption and go through the steps to do it. But if you don't have it,
or take something else,
that's what I was going to say.
If you have a real issue, I want you to get help. We talk about this in other situations. If there's an issue, please, by all means, I want every player to get the kind of help that they need. But they should. That's why the fact that it's an unidentified medical situation. That is what leads me to believe that Robinson Cano is not really being 100% truthful here.
Right, and then you open yourself up to, you know, people like Justin Verlander hitting you on Twitter, basically saying, "And here comes this excuse in 3, 2, 1," and it looks like a great tweet, a great shot fired at you from across the bow, and listen, you deserve it.
Yeah.
Pitchers are throwing pitches up there and they're getting hit, and now they're looking at you like, ah, that's why my slider got hit on that 0-2 pitch that was down.
That's why Robinson Cano hit 26 home runs last year at the age of 34. It's too bad. I like Robinson Cano as a ball player, but his name will be in the books with everybody else's name, and it's not going to go away now. And like you said, Tony, if he really has like an ADD thing, I think we're all grown up enough now in this world to understand that people have some issues.
People have health issues, for sure.
There's depression, there's ADD, there's OCD, there's
all kinds of stuff.
Any kinds of letters, you want to put them all together, somebody's probably got it. So get your help. We understand. And don't be so embarrassed about it. It's a lot less embarrassing than having to go through what he's going through now. And that's why I believe that, you know, he probably isn't telling the 100% the truth. But
I mean, listen, the guys that have gotten through this and almost people kind of forgot are the guys who just said, hey, you know what? I did it.
You caught me.
You caught me.
Andy Pettit comes to mind.
That's who I'm thinking of as I said this. I mean, he's like, listen, I was injured. I was trying to get back faster, and this is what I did to do it.
Somebody told me that this would help me get back on the mound so I could make a living. And Andy Pettit.
You can be mad at that, but you got to respect the fact that he just came out and said what he needed to say.
Andy Pettit is in a little bit of a different category than a lot of the rest of these guys. You're absolutely right.
He is, and that's because he came out and told the truth. Right now, we have Joe Starkey on the line from 93.7 The Fan. This is in Pittsburgh. Joe, how you doing today? Tony Gwynn here.
Tony, I'm doing great. Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to have you. We look forward to the ball clubs facing off against each other coming up here pretty soon. I got to ask you, the McCutchen story kind of woed me. I mean, he seemed like he got a standing ovation every at-bat he came up in Pittsburgh. Tell us how that went down and what was it like to be in that stadium when it was going down.
I got to be honest with you. I was watching the games on TV. I had to work radio. But even on TV, and maybe partially, especially on TV, it just came across as what it was, a fan base loving a guy who really lifted that, more than any other person, lifted that franchise out of hell, really, which was a 20-year losing streak, one of the longest losing streaks ever for any franchise in North America, any sport. 20 years, and he was the face of it. And more than that, you know, it was kind of like Marc-Andre Fleury, the goalie for the Penguins. They're both more than just great athletes. They were great citizens, you know what I mean? They were great representatives of the city, and McCutchen always carried himself with class. And one of the images I'm left with from his career was that time in San Diego when he handed those kids his batting gloves after the game in center field. I don't know if you remember
that.
But that's what people responded to. It reminded me of David Freese in St. Louis last year. Although that was literally like every at-bat, there was like a standing ovation. But it was kind of the same thing. It was just a weekend of gratitude for McCutchen.
Joe Starkey is in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan. We're 97.3 The Fan. Joe, so hopefully we won't mix up our numbers here.
Right.
But the Padres are on their way to Pittsburgh right now. They're going to play the Pirates this weekend, and the Pirates have been a great story so far in baseball this year. That's why I wanted to talk a little bit about them. But a little bit more on McCutchen and just the relationship that Pittsburgh has with its athletes. I think it's special there to a certain extent. I've been to Pittsburgh a few times. I happen to do a couple of things with Franco Harris. My goodness, I mean, he caught the Immaculate Reception 45 years ago. It doesn't matter. Wherever he goes in Pittsburgh, they open a door for Franco Harris. And, you know, the love they had for Clemente and for Stargell when those guys played there. I mean, because a lot of guys in McCutchen's situation, to me, could leave, go take the money somewhere else in San Francisco and get booed when they came back home.
Exactly. And that's happened here when guys have actually done that. In fact, it happened when Barry Bonds left and took the money in San Francisco. Yeah. But, you know, this was different. He got traded with a year left on his deal. And you're right about Pittsburgh. I mean, all you need to know is that when you walk off your airplane and walk into the airport, there's a statue of Franco Harris in the airport. So this town just embraces athletes, and a lot of them, I think maybe contrary to what happens in a lot of other cities, a lot of the legendary Pittsburgh athletes have stayed here either their whole career or most of their career. You know, Franco left for Seattle for like, you know, I don't know, a half a season or something at the tail end of his career. But Mario Lemieux, Sidney Crosby, Clemente, Willie Stargell, you know, guys are just embraced by this town forever. And especially when they're really, really good people. And that's McCutchen to a T.
Yeah. McCutchen is still one of my favorite players to watch. in Major League Baseball. Let's talk about this ball club. I mean, because you guys lost some big pieces, McCutchen being one of them, Garrett Cole being another one, and yet you guys are right in the thick of it early on in this National League Central. What have you seen from this ball club that has been able to kind of cover up maybe some of those holes that you lose in a Cole and a McCutchen?
Well, Garrett Cole, he's turned into Nolan Ryan.
Right.
I mean, look at his strikeouts for nine innings. That he had one great year here, and he was good, don't get me wrong, but nothing like this. I don't know what happened there. And as far as McCutchen goes, they've actually replaced his numbers and then some, at least so far, with Corey Dickerson.
For Robinson Cano, he says, look, here's his quote is the same quote that just about every player has. It's funny that you said you can go to the Players Association and get a list of what you can and can't take.
Yeah.
I also believe you can go to the Players Association and get an excuse list of what you should say and write as your excuse, because he said, playing baseball has been the greatest honor, privilege of my life. I'd never do anything to cheat the rules of the game that I love. Undergoing dozens of drug tests over more than a decade, I have never tested positive for a PED. It's the same thing that every guy who's ever been caught has said. It's the same thing, so it's almost impossible for me to believe him. I would be more likely to believe Robinson Cano if he jumped up on top of the highest building in Seattle, on top of the Space Needle, and screamed out, I am suing, I am protecting my name, I did not do this, there is no way I am wrong, you guys are besmirching my name forever. I mean, if I didn't do it, I would let everybody know about it.
How, though? I mean, at the end of the day, this isn't a matter of it not being a false positive or something. This is a test that has come down. It's in his body.
Well, I might be willing to explain to the P. He said that he took this furosemide because of an un.
That's the part that worries me.
Of an
right?
unexplained medical problem.
If it's real, I'm just coming out and say, hey, you know, I got high blood pressure.
That's what I'm saying.
This is exactly what it is.
Even if it's a little embarrassing. Because whatever you have is a little embarrassing.
You got to. It's worth your integrity.
This. 100%. It's better than this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw it. Dan Heron was on Twitter, and some people looked at it as defending him, but I just looked at it as him giving some perspective behind what he was saying.
Dan Heron, the former pitcher.
The former pitcher, right, for the Angels, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
He said that he was taking the same stuff, and because it was such a hassle to get a doctor with the TUE, because let me tell you, I've had one of these TUEs before for ADD, and what happens is you have to go to see a doctor, and you got to continuously see this doctor, and it is kind of a hassle to get these scripts written for you. I mean, you got to sometimes drive all the way across the county to get some.
You
of this
have
stuff.
To prove basically that you still have whatever the malady is that you need to keep taking this medicine.
Right, and so what Dan Heron basically said was he basically switched medications because it was so much of a hassle,
right,
to get the medication that we're speaking of right now. So it's a fact that you can take this and have a therapeutic exemption and go through the steps to do it. But if you don't
have a real issue, I want you to get help. We talk about this in other situations. If there's an issue, please, by all means, I want every player to get the kind of help that they need. But they should. That's the fact that it's an unidentified medical situation that what leads me to believe that Robinson Cano is not really being 100% truthful here.
Right, and then you open yourself up to, you know, people like Justin Verlander hitting you on Twitter, basically saying, "And here comes this excuse in 3, 2, 1," and it looks like a great tweet, a great shot fired at you from across the bow, and listen, you deserve it.
Yeah.
Pitchers are throwing pitches up there and they're getting hit, and now they're looking at you like, ah, that's why my slider got hit on that 0-2 pitch that was down.
That's why Robinson Cano hit 26 home runs last year at the age of 34. It's too bad. I like Robinson Cano as a ball player, but his name will be in the books with everybody else's name, and it's not going to go away now. And like you said, Tony, if he really has like an ADD thing, I think we're all grown up enough now in this world to understand that people have some
people
issues.
People have health issues,
there's,
for sure.
There's depression, there's ADD, there's OCD, there's...
All kinds of stuff.
Any kinds of letters, you want to put them all together, somebody's probably got it. So get your help. We understand, and don't be so embarrassed about it. It's a lot less embarrassing than having to go through what he's going through now, and that's why I believe that, you know, he probably isn't telling 100% the truth. But
I mean, listen, the guys that have gotten through this and almost people kind of forgot are the guys who just said, hey, you know what? I did it.
You caught me.
You caught me.
Andy Pettit comes to mind.
That's who I'm thinking of as I said this. I mean, he's like, listen, I was injured. I was trying to get back faster, and this is what I did to do it.
Somebody told me that this would help me get back on the mound so I could make a living. And Andy Pettit,
you can be mad at that, but you got to respect the fact that he just came out and said what he needed to say.
Andy Pettit is in a little bit of a different category than a lot of the rest of these guys. You're absolutely right.
He is, and that's because he came out and told the truth. Right now, we have Joe Starkey on the line from 93.7 The Fan. This is in Pittsburgh. Joe, how you doing today? Tony Gwynn here.
Tony, I'm doing great. Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to have you. We look forward to the ball clubs facing off against each other coming up here pretty soon. I got to ask you, the McCutchen story kind of woed me. I mean, he seemed like he got a standing ovation every at-bat he came up in Pittsburgh. Tell us how that went down and what was it like to be in that stadium when it was going down.
I got to be honest with you. I was watching the games on TV. I had to work radio. But even on TV, and maybe partially especially on TV, it just came across as what it was, a fan base loving a guy who really lifted that, more than any other person, lifted that franchise out of hell, really, which was a 20-year losing streak, one of the longest losing streaks ever for any franchise in North America, any sport. 20 years, and he was the face of it. And more than that, you know, it was kind of like Marc-Andre Fleury, the goalie for the Penguins. They're both more than just great athletes. They were great citizens, you know what I mean? They were great representatives of the city, and McCutchen always carried himself with class. And one of the images I'm left with from his career was that time in San Diego when he handed those kids his batting gloves after the game in center field. I don't know if you remember that, but that's what people responded to. It reminded me of David Fries in St. Louis last year. Although that was literally like every at-bat, there was like a standing ovation. But it was kind of the same thing. It was just a weekend of gratitude for McCutchen.
Joe Starkey is in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan. We're 97.3 The Fan. Joe, so hopefully we won't mix up our numbers here.
Right.
But with Padres are on their way to Pittsburgh right now. They're going to play the Pirates this weekend, and the Pirates have been a great story so far in baseball this year. That's why I wanted to talk a little bit about them. But a little bit more on McCutchen and just the relationship that Pittsburgh has with its athletes. I think it's special there to a certain extent. I've been to Pittsburgh a few times. I'm not trying to drop a name here, but I happen to do a couple of things with Franco Harris. My goodness, I mean, he caught the immaculate reception 45 years ago. It doesn't matter. Wherever he goes in Pittsburgh, they open the door for Franco Harris. And, you know, the love they had for Clemente and for Stargell when those guys played there. I mean, because a lot of guys in McCutchen's situation, to me, could leave, go take the money somewhere else in San Francisco and get booed when they came back home.
Exactly. And that's happened here when guys have actually done that. In fact, it happened when Barry Bonds left and took the money in San Francisco. Yeah. But, you know, this was different. He got traded with a year left on his deal. And you're right about Pittsburgh. I mean, all you need to know is that when you walk off your airplane and walk into the airport, there's a statue of Franco Harris in the airport. So this town just embraces athletes, and a lot of them, I think maybe contrary to what happens in a lot of other cities, a lot of the legendary Pittsburgh athletes have stayed here either their whole career or most of their career. You know, Franco left for Seattle for like, you know, I don't know, a half a season or something at the tail end of his career. But Mario Lemieux Sidney Crosby, Clemente, Willie Stargell. You know, guys are just embraced by this town forever, and especially when they're really, really good people, and that's McCutchen to a T.
Yeah, McCutchen is still one of my favorite players to watch in Major League Baseball. Let's talk about this ball club. I mean, because you guys lost some big pieces, McCutchen being one of them, Garrett Cole being another one, and yet you guys are right in the thick of it early on in this National League Central. What have you seen from this ball club that has been able to kind of cover up maybe some of those holes that you lose in a Cole and a McCutchen?
Well, Garrett Cole, he's turned into Nolan Ryan.
Right.
Look at his strikeouts per nine innings. That he had one great year here, and he was good, don't get me wrong, but nothing like this. I don't know what happened there. And as far as McCutchen goes, they've actually replaced his numbers and then some, at least so far, with Corey Dickerson. And that looks like it was a great pickup by Neil Huntington. Francisco Cervelli is healthy and is having the best start of his career. I mean, he's putting up all-star numbers.
The Dickerson move kind of fell into you guys' lap, too.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, he made the all-star team last year. Then he definitely fell off the map after his first half, but nevertheless, to basically get him for nothing was unbelievable. And then Colin Moran has been pretty good at third base. And Starling Marte is the other key, and maybe the biggest key, quite frankly, because he has come back to be a star, which he really was before. When you look at his numbers, like I think almost any team in baseball would have taken Starling Marte for about 4 years of his career when you combine defense with offense, and now he's added a little power.
I agree.
And he has been fantastic. And then the pitching has been in and out, but it's been good enough. You know what I mean? Some guys like take Nova. He got off to a good start. Now he's struggling, so his numbers aren't great. Nobody's numbers are great, but it seems like enough guys have had enough good starts that they're okay, and then they got the big boy at the back of the bullpen.
Vasquez, who changed his name because what his wife told him to, right? Or his girlfriend
his
told him to. His sister, that's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah, he used to be.
Don't ask me what's going on.
He changed his name because his sister told him to change his name, and so he went with that. Yeah, it's crazy. Joe Starkey in Pittsburgh joining us here, talking a little Pirates. And you know, Josh Harrison, I think, is one of the leaders of that team, too.
He's
been out for a month and a half. The one constant that I see in Pittsburgh, and it started, like you said, with McCutchen and those ball players, but it also started with the arrival of Clint Hurdle as the manager, to me, in Pittsburgh. And he's still there. And the Pirates, for many years, I mean, from like Chuck Tanner and the We Are Family team of 79 to Clint Hurdle, they probably went through 15 guys trying to find the right manager there in Pittsburgh. But Clint Hurdle has fit perfectly, and I think maybe that is another reason why the Pirates haven't dropped as far as people thought they might.
Yeah, he's a guy who just is steady as they go and really, I think, turns his clubhouse over to his players, and that's why his voice doesn't get old. And I think he's done a great job. Honestly, I thought he did a good job last year when you look at the injuries they went through and everything that club went through. He still had them afloat, you know, at the beginning of August. They were back to 500 when Polanco got hurt again. And he's just been steady. He's been good. You know, they haven't won a division here, but they're playing against the Cardinals, and then all of a sudden the Cubs went straight from – they didn't stop at good. They went from straight to crappy, you know, from crappy to great.
Right.
So they've had to contend with that. But overall, I mean – again, the same thing I said about McCutchen. This franchise was dead. Nobody came to games. They were on a 20-year losing streak, and Clint Hurdle played a huge role in getting them back, and still is, I think, doing a really good job.
Who is the one guy that nobody's talking about on this roster for the Pirates?
Well, I think Richard Rodriguez. Check out his numbers. You know, the bullpen at the beginning of the year wasn't very good. They're blowing up a lot. And then this kid, who they literally picked up off the scrap heap at age 28, he's got something like 23 strikeouts and two walks. And just today, there was news that came down that George Contos is going to not be their setup guy anymore before Vasquez. So Richard Rodriguez is a guy who could step into that role. This kid misses bats a lot. So I would say him for sure. And then I just think Jordy Mercer is a really steady player at shortstop.
Solid.
And a really good leader. And when I was down in Bradenton covering spring training, I don't know, I just got a good vibe from this team. And everything I said about McCutchen is true, but I also think it was true that he was unhappy here last year, and so was Gerrit Cole. And I think that their departures have helped some of these younger guys, have forced some of these younger guys to step into a leadership role, and particularly if you look at Polanco and Marte. And Polanco's numbers aren't great, but he got off to a great start and carried them for about 2 weeks. And I think those guys and other younger guys have stepped into leadership roles, and I think the clubhouse is a much more enjoyable place for players to be because there's not that McCutchen saga weighing over everybody, including him.
Pittsburgh Pirates, just a game out of first place, winning already tonight, 6-0 over the White Sox. They're a very good, pleasant surprise story in Major League Baseball. Joe Starkey from Pittsburgh. Thanks for the time, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Enjoy
the
visit from the Padres this weekend. I'm sure we'll try to take it easy on you guys.
Love the Padres. Always have. Love their uniform.
Everybody loves the Padres when they come to town. Man. Come on.
Love watching Tony Gwynn play. I love that team from Dave Winfield. I'm about 52, so I remember those old Padres teams, and they were fun to watch.
That's sweet. That's great, Joe. Thanks so much for the time, and if we can help you out at all out here in San Diego, let us know.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Joe.
There he is, Joe Starkey from Pittsburgh. Yeah, I thought the as soon as they lost McCutchen and everybody, they were like cellar dwellers for sure this year.
I knew from watching them they'd be able to replace it. I mean, you started to see it coming when they moved Marte over to center and they moved McCutchen into right. It just... Marte ended up getting suspended, so McCutchen had to go back to center. But you could see that they had a plan as far as McCutchen's concerned. Now, so that one doesn't surprise me as much. But to be able to be able to give up a guy like Gerrit Cole, and I know he hasn't been – he wasn't very consistent, and he certainly wasn't the pitcher that we're seeing in Houston right now. To lose an arm like that, that usually hurts regardless of how inconsistent he may have been. But yet they found a way. I've always been a big fan of Marte and Harrison. I've always respected Jordy very, very much as well because he's that kind of steady shortstop, that an old school kind of, you know, hits around 250, 260, but he's going to make every defensive play that's routine. He's going to make a few spectacular plays in the process. He's just a heady ball player, and I've always liked watching him play.
Name a starting pitcher on the Pittsburgh Pirates other than Nova, just off the top of your head.
Trevor Jackson.
Who?
Trevor Jackson.
No, there's no Trevor Jackson. There's a Trevor Williams.
Trevor Williams.
Good
try. That's what I meant to say.
But what I'm trying to get at is that they are proof that you can get it done with a bunch of guys, just a bunch of guys. And that's, you know, one of my frustrations, and I mean, put a downer on the Padres day because it was a great day and they almost had a no-hitter and all that. But the Pirates are the kind of team that I look at and I say, why can't the Padres be a little bit more like that organization right now? Because the Padres have some talented young players. So do the Pirates. The Padres had kind of a no-name pitching staff this year. So do the Pirates. But the Pirates are a game out of first place. And, you know, we're not a game out of first place.
We're not there yet, but we're closing the gap.
I'll be patient.
Yeah, be patient. We're going to go to break here. When we come back, we're going to have the Big Five at 5 o'clock here on 97.3 The Fan.